Father God, we really and truly do praise you tonight. We thank you that you are our Father and that you are in total and complete control of all things. All things, Father God. And Father God, we refuse to walk in doubt and unbelief. And we are going to have the joy of the Lord. We are going to show a generation of hopeless people that your children have joy no matter what. And Father God, as we go through the last teaching tonight, I'm asking that you open up the spiritual ears so they can hear first what you're saying and let it drop down into their spirit man so they can chew on it, Father God, and glean something from it. And Father, I thank you for it in my name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, God called this renewed faith. All right. He says, my children, it is time to renew your faith in me. Why have you drawn back in unbelief? Where is your core foundation that you walked on low these many years? Where is your substance that once was in me? Now, we have to understand, church, that we're not the only ones anymore that hear these messages. And you might sort of say, well, why is she teaching this? I already know this, or I'm not there. But somebody listening is, all right? So let's start this again. My children, it is time to renew your faith in me. Why have you drawn back in unbelief? Where is your core foundation that you walked on low these many years? Where is your substance that once was in me? Why are you lingering once again around the cesspool of doubt and unbelief? Do you not still comprehend that you are in warfare? I have spoken about this time that has come upon the earth, and now that it is here, you are walking around in total awe, not understanding the times. This is a time for war. This is not the time to be studying the warfare manual. I have been giving you war strategy all the days of your life. The enemy never stops strategizing, but my children do. And that was interesting, isn't it? The enemy never stops strategizing, but my children do. My children just sit and expect me to do all the warfare. I fight alongside of you. I give you wisdom on all sides, and I send angelic help, but you must do your part also. Now let's read Deuteronomy 3, verses 1 through 11 to back up what he just said here about warfare, what God just said. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 1. Then we turned north and took the road to Bashan. Og, king of Bashan, he and all his people came out to meet us in battle at Edra. God said to me, don't be afraid of him. I'm turning him over to you, along with his whole army and his land. Treat him the way you treated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who ruled from Heshbon. Now, what did it say? When they went, the king came out to meet them in battle, but then God said, don't be afraid of him. So they were in battle, but God was speaking to them, encouraged them. In verse 3, so God, our God, also handed Og, king of Bashan, over to us. Og and all his people, and we utterly crushed them again, no survivors. God did not kill them. They went to battle. At the same time, we took all his cities. There wasn't one of the 60 cities that we didn't take. The whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortress cities with high walls and barred gates. There were also numerous unwalled villages. The people, totally destroyed them. A holy destruction. It was the same treatment we gave to Sihon, king of Heshbon, a holy destruction of every city, man, woman, and child. But all the livestock and plunder from the cities we took for ourselves. Throughout that time, we took the land from under the control of the two kings of the Amorites who ruled the country east of the Jordan, all the way from the brook Arnon to Mount Hermon. Siren is a name given Hermon by the Sidonites. The Amorites call it Senar, S-E-N-I-R. We took all the towns of the plateau, everything in Gilead, everything in Bashan, as far as in Edrei, the border of towns of Bashan, Og's kingdom. Now, you see what they did? They went to war. They did the battle. God was with them and God gave them wisdom. So we cannot just sit and expect God to do what our part. Verse 11 said, Og, king of Bashan, was the last remaining Rephite. Now look at I sort of like this. His bed made of iron was over 13 feet long and 6 wide. You can still see it on display in Rahab of the Battle of Ammon. That was a pretty good guy, a pretty big guy, and they defeated him. But might have David and Goliath, right? They were all giants. So what are you fearing? You have to go to war. You have to do what God's calling us to do. Now, God said many of the attacks of the enemy could be staved off if you were at your post. So let's start that again now since I got your attention. Many of the attacks of the enemy could be staved off if you were at your post fully dressed for warfare. This is what God's saying. You can't just have one piece of your armor on. You must be fully clothed at all times. Do you understand your armor? Do you understand what each piece represents? And God said, let's take a look. So I had to go take a look, all right? And I'm going to tell you what I found. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Why? That when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And I think that is not in the word today. That was in the bulletin. I mean, the weekly bulletin word. But God tells us there, stand your ground. Now, the armor of God is a metaphor in the Bible. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 is where you find your armor. That reminds Christians about the reality of spiritual battle and describes the protection available to them. The full armor of God that Christians are called to put on comprises of the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. This is what we're supposed to be dressed in every day. I read something the other day, and they were talking about pleading the blood of Jesus, but this person said, God said to make sure you say the shed blood of Jesus. Did you read that too? I thought that, because I hadn't thought about that. You have to say the shed blood of Jesus. So everybody remember that, okay? Instead of just saying, I plead the blood of Jesus, say, I plead the shed blood of Jesus. Now, Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, let's talk about the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the first element of the armor of God. In the ancient world, a soldier's belt not only kept his armor in place, but if wide enough, protected his kidneys and other vital organs. To the same extent, the truth protects us. Particularly applied, you might say the belt of truth holds up our spiritual pants so that we're not exposed and vulnerable. Some of you guys that wear your pants down around your hiney, you need to get this belt on, right? Come on. All right, the breastplate of righteousness guards our heart. A wound to the chest can be fatal. That's why ancient soldiers wore a breastplate covering their heart and lungs. Our heart is susceptible to the wickedness of this world, but our protection is a righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. Our heart is susceptible to the wickedness of this world, but our protection is a righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ. We cannot become righteous through our own good works. We know that. When Jesus died on the cross, his righteousness was credited to all who believe in him through justification. God sees us as sinless because of what his Son did for us. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. We'll read that again. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, accept your Christ-given righteousness right now. Let it cover and protect you. Remember that it can keep your heart strong and pure for God. In Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now let's talk about the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is symbolized by sturdy, protective footwear. Ephesians 6:15 talks about fitting our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The terrain was rocky in the ancient world, requiring sturdy, protective footwear. On a battlefield or near a fort, the enemy might scatter barbed spikes or sharp stones to slow an army down. In the same way, Satan scatters traps for us as we're trying to spread the gospel. The gospel of peace is our protection. And what's God been trying to do? Get us to walk in peace, isn't he? The gospel of peace is our protection, reminding us that it is by grace that souls are saved. We can sidestep Satan's obstacles when we remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's John 3:16. We can sidestep Satan's obstacles when we remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Fitting our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace is described in 1 Peter 3:15 like this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Are you listening to this, guys? It is our job to make sure that the lost and the dying knows of the love of Christ for us. We are not supposed to keep everything that we learned hoarded up inside of us. We are supposed to give it forth. I'm just going to tell you this. The other night I was really having a really bad night, and I didn't know if I was going to make it through to the morning. And as I was laying there praying, God said to me, you did not do the assignment I gave you. And I was supposed to tell somebody that they were, you know, they don't love, and therefore if they died, they wouldn't go to heaven. But this person believes that he can just up, you know, they can just up and just whenever they think they're dying, ask God to forgive them and go on. And God said, they're not going to have a chance to do that. And if you go tonight, his blood is on your hands. So I made it through the night, and I very quickly the next day went and told that person what God had said. When God tells us to do something, we have to do it quickly. We can't sit around and ponder it. We can't sit around and say, oh, I don't know how they're going to take it. You know, it's your life that's on the line. When God tells you to do something and you don't do it, it's your life on the line. And he told me, he said, that person's blood is going to be on your hands. So that person came then this morning and talked to me crying. And, you know, and thanked me for telling them. But see, what if I hadn't made it through the night? They see, God would have held me responsible for what happened to him. I want each one of you to think about this. We never know when we're going to breathe our last breath. And so if God has told you to do something and you still haven't done it, you better get it done, because you're going to be held accountable for it. All right. Sharing the gospel of salvation ultimately brings peace between God and men. As I shared how God wants us to love and how Bob Jones died, went to heaven, and God said, you know, he's going to ask the people, have you learned to love? And see, I had to share that with that person in order for them to understand. You just don't hear things by happenstance. You really don't. Everything you hear, God lets you hear, because at one point in your life, he's going to use that thing you heard. All right, let's talk about the shield of faith. It's a shield and a sword. No defensive armor was as important as a shield. It fended off arrows, spears, and swords. Our shield of faith guards us against one of Satan's deadliest weapons, and that is doubt. This right now, that's the reason why people are leaving the church, because they're walking in doubt and unbelief. They don't have what it takes to stand while this warfare is going on that we're in right now, you know, with the election. They don't have what it takes to stand. And so they're just sitting down. They're doubting that God is able to do what he has promised us he will do. So that's one of Satan's biggest weapons is doubt, and then unbelief goes right along with that. Satan shoots doubt at us when God does not act immediately or visibly. Isn't that right? But our faith in God's trustworthiness comes from the unassailable truth of the Bible. We know our Father can be counted on. If you don't know that, you're going to walk in doubt and unbelief. You see, you have to know that you know that you know that you know that every word written in the Bible is a truth. And you have to start believing what God speaks to you through the prophets, or what he speaks to you through a book you read, or what he speaks to you personally in your prayer chamber. You have to start believing, you know, if you really hear God's voice, and you have to start believing that is God, and I need to pay close attention to what he's saying to me. All right? We don't have any more time to sit around and ponder things. This is an instant thing right now that we're in. We have to move instantly, and we have to win our battles instantly. We can't just drag them out. And we have to quit being lazy and get in there and do the things that we have to do. If I ask for a show of hands, and one of us in here tonight, sometimes you think, oh, God, I just want to sit down. I don't want to fight today. I just want to rest today, right? But, you know, I'm sorry. You just don't have time to rest. There's too much work at hand. Faith and doubt don't mix. I have faith that God's going to heal this person, but I don't have faith he's going to heal this person. This person's too sick. If you have faith for one person, you have faith for another person. So faith and doubt don't, or you might say, well, I have faith that God's going to heal that person, but God's not going to heal me. You know, that doesn't work that way. Faith and doubt don't mix. Our shield of faith sends Satan's flaming arrows of doubt into the ditch instead of hitting us. They should bounce off of us like we were a rubber wall. We keep our shield held high, confident in knowledge that God provides for us. Do you believe that? God protects us, and God is faithful to us, his children. Our shield holds because of the one our faith is in, and that's Jesus Christ. I was talking to somebody today, and everything that anybody's ever, you know, they've had a couple inheritance, they were stolen from them. They paid into this insurance company and doctors, and the insurance company said, well, you were just a couple days short, well, you can't get anything back. You know, everything they were supposed to get, Satan has stolen. So I told them, you and your husband have to come into agreement that everything Satan has stolen from you, he has to return 100-fold. So they went to their husband. I'll do it every day. I'll pray every day. But see, they're going to have to do something now. They've been sitting idly by, and I've been watching it too. Everything they get, Satan's been stealing every penny they get. And so now they're changing their strategy. Y'all might know people like that. You need to tell them how to change their strategy. You have to tell them what they have to do. God's given new information about the courtrooms right now. You need to start using it. You need to start, you know, writing books about it or sharing it with people. But tell people. I tell people you need to go to the courtroom, and I tell them which courtroom and how they have to pray. I don't know all that, but God does, so he brings it to me when I have to say it. Are you listening? Don't hoard it to yourself. You have to share it with other people. Not unless you don't have faith in what you read or what you hear. You yourself have to be so trustworthy that whatever you say, people's going to have faith in it. They're not going to trust a liar. Are you listening? It's like, you know, my daughter went to buy a car. She did buy it, but she come to me and she said, Mom, she told me all about it. What do you hear? I said, I'm not hearing nothing, honey. She called me a couple hours later. Have you heard any, Mom? I said, I haven't heard anything. Now, I could have made up some. And she's, well, all right, I'm going to go look at the car. I said, all right. So she called after she got there. And she said, do you hear anything? I said, honey, I haven't heard a single solitary thing. She said, I'm going in to sign the contract. So she went inside the contract for the car. And about 2 hours later, God says she's having doubts. It was quite a big expense. And he said, you tell her not to doubt, just enjoy her ride. So as she come home, I said, honey, did you have doubts after you signed that paperwork? She said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, God said, don't have any doubts, just enjoy your ride. And she's at peace. But now I could have made up some. I could have said, well, you know, God said you shouldn't get that. But yes, God told you to get it. I said, I'm not hearing that. And I wasn't one hearing absolutely nothing. So why do you sometimes make up things when you really don't hear things? When people come to you and ask you things. Are you trying to be important? Are you trying to get people to keep thinking you're the one that they need to come to? And I told her, I said, you pray, honey. You ask God if you're supposed to get it, you have peace about it. She did have peace about it after she signed the paperwork. But see, that was the devil trying to steal her joy. I hope you're learning something here tonight about that. Don't speak something into somebody's life that you have not heard from God. It will destroy them, and eventually God's going to hold you accountable for it. All right, somebody called me, and they want to know about a relationship. And I said, I'm not hearing anything at all while we're talking. So I said, I'll hang up now, and when I hear something, I'll call you back. Well, I think a week went by, and they called me back, and I said, to tell you the truth, I forgot to get your number off of my car thing. And I says, but I have not heard anything. And just like that, God started speaking and told her exactly what he wanted her to do. And she said, oh. I said, well, that's what God just said. But see, I hadn't heard all that time. And I could have said, well, this is what God is saying to you. But I wasn't hearing nothing. Please be accountable for what you say. And please don't try to make yourself look important. If God isn't speaking it, you be quiet. All right, some of you who do hear God's voice all the time, how many times when you really try to hear something for somebody? Because you know that they really need to hear, but you don't hear nothing. Have you ever done it? Try to hear something for somebody and you just don't hear it. Just say, I'm sorry. God's just not talking, you know, and, you know, I can't help if they're not happy, but I'm sure not going to go to hell because I'm going to make up something to tell somebody that's not of God. I don't know why somebody needs to hear this tonight. Somebody's doing this and you need to quit. You know, and I'm not saying in this room, it could be anywhere, but you just need to quit. All right, let's talk about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects the head, where all thought and knowledge reside. Jesus Christ said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's John 8:31 and 32. Now, the truth of salvation through Christ does indeed set us free. We are free from vain searching, free from the meaningless temptations of this world, and free from the condemnation of sin. Those who reject God's plan of salvation battle Satan unprotected and suffer the fatal blow of hell. Those who reject God's plan of salvation battle Satan unprotected and suffer the fatal blow of hell. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that believers have the mind of Christ. Even more interesting, 2 Corinthians 10:5 explains that those who are in Christ have divine power to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So therefore, the helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts and minds is a crucial piece of armor. We cannot survive without it. How many of you have had to say, Satan, my mind is a mind of Christ. Get out of my mind. And you say it and you mean it. It is a constant thing, isn't it? You just, no, Satan, I'm not going to listen to you. I have the mind of Christ, and I know that's not Christ speaking, and you're going to leave now. We need to do that over and over and over, because he sneaks in when you least expect it, doesn't he? He really does. And you think, well, you think, where'd that come from? But you know where it came from. And you should immediately react by telling Satan, uh-uh, this is not your mind. This is God's mind. And it's the mind of Christ. All right? You have to act quickly and do it quickly, because if you linger, he's going to get you. You have to quickly tell him to get out of your mind. All right, let's talk about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit represents the Bible, our weapon against Satan. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God with which we can strike against Satan. This weapon represents the Word of God, the Bible. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You'll find that in Hebrews 4:12. Let's read that again, Nancy. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I want to stop there. You know, sometime in my being born again experience, I was told the Old Testament is nothing. You don't even read the Old Testament. Haven't you heard that? But, and then as I went along, people even said, well, some of the New Testament isn't right. And so then as I myself got into the Word, I found out that you read the whole Word, not just part of the Word. And if you read the Old Testament right now, we're going through a lot of things that were going on in the Old Testament. The enemy did not want us to know anything about the Old Testament, and he was trying to get us to just stay in the New Testament. And then when we just stayed there, I mean, some people stayed there, and they still are there, then he twisted that also. So what do you have? You have a lot of confused Christians. And this is God always told me, you read the Word for yourself, and my Holy Spirit will tell you the truth of my Word. And when I used to go to church, I'd sit there and, you know, because I read the Word for myself, had asked the Holy Spirit to be with me, explain it to me. And I'd go to church services and sit there and hear the pastors twist the Word. And I thought, how can they do that? I even asked God, how can they do that? He said, because they're not mine. Because they're not mine. He said, don't be twisting the Word. God's Word is truth. All right, now when Jesus Christ was tempted in the desert by Satan, he countered with the truth of Scripture, setting an example for us to follow. And this is what he said in Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. All of us trying to lose weight every time we want to eat. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what's the word say? A glutton will go to hell. That's what it says, if in case you don't know it. Come on. So instead of shoving that food in our mouth, we need to say it is written. Throw it in the trash, right? Not the empty plate. The food and the plate both. Come on, but we don't do that, do we? Oh, well, this isn't going to hurt me. This is just a little bit of food, you know. No, if God's calling you to fast, then you need to fast. Now, Satan's tactics have not changed, so the sword of the Spirit is still our best defense. The sword of the Spirit is what? The Bible. Now, let's talk about the power of prayer. Finally, Paul adds the power of prayer to the armor of God. And he says in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, if you are not one that prays in the Spirit, don't think you don't have any salvation. When the Spirit, we're supposed to pray in the Spirit always, but I can't do that. And when the Spirit of God hits me, I pray in the Spirit like you wouldn't believe. But I can't make myself pray in the Spirit. I hear a lot of people praying in the Spirit, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I say, God, why can't I do that? But I just can't. So if you're one that just can't, you know, when the Spirit of God hits you, you will. So just chill out and just pray, right? And just pray. The Holy Spirit will move upon you. Now, Brother Chris, he prays all the time in the Spirit. And used to be when we'd be in prayer meeting, he'd get to praying in the Spirit. And Sister Nancy does too. And Sister Shirley does. And I'm sitting there. I'm the pastor. I said, God, I can't do that. And so I quit letting it bother me. You know, I have a good time in my prayer closet. Amen. Yeah, not I was praying. I said, no, I'm not going to pray Satan in English because you understand it. And I tried to pray in the Spirit and I couldn't. And God said, just pray. You know, the devil's trying to put condemnation on me. Then I didn't want to pray. But I prayed. And God did answer the prayer. Let's just pray. And just let's be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit. So whatever, you know. Because I'm not telling you not to. I'm really not. So every smart soldier knows they must keep the lines of communication open to their commander. We're talking about prayer. God has orders for us through his word and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Satan hates it when we pray. He knows prayer strengthens us and keeps us alert to his deception. Paul cautions us to pray for others as well. You just don't pray for me and mine. You pray for those around about you. You pray for the president. Thought about that. Did y'all see the pictures of how the president's wife decorated the White House for Christmas? Wasn't that beautiful? The theme is it's absolutely beautiful. Breathtaking, isn't it? I said, God, she is a perfect lady to be in the White House. She just really is. She knows how to carry herself. She knows exactly how to do everything. And God knows what he's doing, right? With the armor of God and the gift of prayer, we can be ready for whatever the enemy throws at us. So what God had said was, do you know what the armor really is? He said, so let's talk about it. So we just talked about the armor, right? Some of you don't wear your armor. Some days I forget to put my armor on. I'm going to be honest. I do. I pray for everything. Then I have kids to take care of. And I just jump out of bed and forget to. And then I get into battles. And I said, oh, all right, let's go back here and let's put on the armor. All right, and this is the armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit in prayer. All right. God said, children, there you have it. My original statement still stands. You must have all the armor in place every day to defeat the enemy of your soul. God said, there are many battles coming your way. Are you prepared for the battles? You must understand that no two battles are the same. It's like no two kids of yours are the same. No two battles are the same. So you must be fully dressed at all times with ears attentive to my still small voice. See, being dressed in the armor, then you have to be listening for God's still small voice too. The battle of the ages has begun. Are you fully dressed and on alert? So don't lie now. I just confessed that I don't sometimes forget to get fully dressed. And then I get in trouble. Then I said, all right, let's go back and let's put on this little armor here. So, but what we're going to do is we're going to make it a thing that we have to put the armor on before we get out of bed. Not after you have your cup of coffee, brush your teeth and comb your hair and all that stuff. Get dressed in your armor. Now say, now I'm ready to get up and do everything else. And let's just see if we don't start winning more battles than what we were winning before. And see, when we do that, we close the door. The enemy has no way to come in, does he? But we need to do that. It's okay, the door's closed, locked, throw away the key. And the devil can't get in there and undress you. Are you fully clothed in the armor every morning? You should be asking yourself that. Be honest about it. I'm going to give you time to think about that. Be honest about it. Oh, I overslept. I don't have time. Well, you know, you need to make time. Because overslept or not, if you're not dressed, the enemy's going to attack you. And guess what? He's going to win. Until you decide, hey, I need to go get dressed. Quit spending 15 minutes wondering what you're going to put on. And put on the full armor first. God is on the move. He is preparing us for one of the biggest wars that the church has ever seen. And I'm just y'all hear God say the floodgates of confusion are just beginning to open. And when they come wide open, it's going to be a floodgate of confusion. And he's saying if we would just take what he's been telling us and live it, and now make sure we're fully clothed, that floodgate of confusion will never touch us. You won't be confused about anything because you're going to know the truth and you're already set free because you've been walking in that truth. And God said you need to stand guard at all times so the enemy can't sneak in some other way. In other words, be alert to hear God's voice to warn you when the enemy's getting ready to attack you from some other side that you're not expecting. Because, you know, he attacks you through many, many ways. And one big way he attacks you through is your family. Unexpected visitors at your house or anything like that. So be on alert and God will tell you. All right, now, so how many of you now, you have learned that when somebody's name, you all of a sudden start thinking about somebody that they're thinking about you and they're getting ready to give you a phone call or write you an email. Have you finally come to that conclusion? Doesn't it work every time? Every time. So if you'll just learn to tune into the Holy Spirit, God will let you know what's going on in your life at all times, just not every now and then. What God wants to know is how many of you want to be so tuned into the Spirit that the enemy will never be able to take you off guard ever again. And God's saying right now, every anointing that he drops upon you in every service works. There's a definite reason for every anointing he drops on you. And tonight, he wants you to be so on alert that the enemy will never take you off guard ever again. You're going to know. I see a house with water all around it, Barbara. And this house has a lot of confusion in it. And God's going to use you to take the confusion out of it. There's going to be some warfare involved in this too. But the victory's already won. But he's going to use you to bring it to fruition. You people who sit in these seats every service do not understand the importance. As of yet, you still don't understand the importance of your walk with God. You don't understand how deep God is entrenched with inside of you. And you don't understand how deeply God is going to use you to move the mountains in other people's lives. You've been in other churches or you've just been so content just to sit and you don't understand the deep works that God has been doing inside of you each and every service. And I'm hearing him say the bumper crop of souls is getting ready to be thrust into the houses of God. And you people are going to be so engrafted in God and so in tune to his voice that he'll be able to use each and every one of you sitting in here tonight to help set these captives free. And he's also saying that throughout the past 10 years, Satan has done everything he can possibly do to sidetrack you and take you off course. And even though sometimes you did go off on a side road, you wanted more, you wanted God, so you cried out, and God brought you back and put your feet on the path that he wants you to walk on. And he said, he wants you to know tonight, God, that Satan cannot rob from you nor steal from you ever again because he has cemented your feet in him. And he's going to use you mightily in this end time war that and battle that the church is in. And Chris Lynch, today God showed me that you're in for a big surprise. It's really going to blow you away, so just get ready to be blown away. I mean, this is not really a good thing at first, but it'll turn into a good thing. So just get yourself prepared for the what's coming your way. And see, if we just keep ourselves in tune, and Chris does keep herself in tune to God, but if we just keep ourselves in tune to God all the time, he will tell us about other people too. And then it's up to us to warn the other people. Because sometimes, you know, the people are so caught up in what they're doing that they don't see how Satan's sneaking around behind us doing other things. God is saying the battle's been rough and he knows it. He says it hasn't only been rough, it's still rough. And that you think the waves are going to take you out, but they won't. They just keep going on. You can weather this storm. This is the worst storm that you guys are going to go through in your lifetime. And when this storm is over, you'll be so strong in God that no storm that Satan sends your way can take you off course ever again. Amen. God wants you to anoint you to be on the alert for his voice, and you'll never be taken off course again. Please come to the altar and receive this anointing that God wants to give you.